You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
Imposter syndrome, that's something that I think people who are reskilling or starting something new have to manage to overcome, because this will appear very frequently. It appeared with me. If I can advise something to anyone, don't be discouraged by this.
Hello, everybody. This is Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at the DevOps Institute, with another episode of our Humans of DevOps podcast. And this one today is a very, very, very special one. The title is A Reskilling Tale from Physiotherapist to DevOps Engineer. And with me, I have a now very famous person who was introduced in London at our Skill Up Festival, Rafal Goralski. Hello, Rafal.
Hello. Nice to meet you, Evelyn. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for taking time out of your day, which I'm sure is very, very busy. So let me give our listeners a quick introduction to this. So I heard about Rafal at a Skill Up event in London at a festival, where one of our ambassadors, one of our great ambassadors, Pavel Pivoc, I hope I say his name right, was talking about a learning journey and teaching DevOps. And in his story, he was in his slides and in his presentation, he mentioned the story of Rafal, and the room was very silent. Everybody was listening, and you could hear a needle drop, because that's when I thought, I have to meet this gentleman first, and second, I have to bring Rafal's story to our listeners. But before we come to you, Rafal, I just wanted to say a few words on Pavel. So Pavel actually leads the DevOps Academy at EPAM, or EPAM, and EPAM Systems is an American company that specializes in service development, digital platform engineering, and digital product design. They're operating out of Newton, Pennsylvania. And if you are listening, hello, Pavel. Thank you again for introducing me to Rafal. And thanks to Rafal again to jumping on this call. I think within almost 72 hours, I had you on there. So
that's correct. It was a very, very time intensive moment, but I did what I could to join you here.
Super. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Rafal.
Yeah, so like you mentioned before, transitioning into DevOps, I was a physical therapist for roughly 9 years. I finished the school in my hometown and then started postgraduate studies on the Academy of Osteopathy here in Poland. But unfortunately, the pandemic came and for some reason, the clinics of PT were closed for a long time, because it was the whole 2020 was closed. So I searched for a different occupation. So it had to be something with computers, because we were locked in home. So I thought that this would be a great choice. And I encountered on my email, the first contact was a scholarship offer by CNCF, SUSE, and Udacity if I wanted to participate. And I didn't have a clue what CNCF was, what would be the cloud, what would be the tooling there. But I, of course, said, yeah, I want to participate. And I didn't get into that at first. So that was, it should last 3 months, but I was accepted after a month, because the seats were already taken. But for some reason, they made one more seat or a couple of more, and I could get in. And that was the first contact that I had with the tools that are used in DevOps, which I didn't know that those were DevOps tools at then, because it was an introduction to Docker, to Kubernetes, to CI/CD pipelines, and on a very high level. So that was only the theory and some basic repetition of the things that were done on the screen, because it was online and self-paced. So that gave me this sort of ticket to get into the EPAM Academy that was organized. And the funny thing is that I got into the EPAM Academy after it was closed, the registration. So I reached out directly to the email that was provided on site and wrote my story that I wouldn't really want to participate and if there would be a chance to make it happen. And one of the people from HR reached out and said, "Yeah, we could take you in. It hasn't started yet. If you pass the interview, then it's going to be okay." And those previous experiences from the CNCF and Udacity course were helpful to pass the interview and get to EPAM, where I was overwhelmed by the amount of great people around me and the positive experience that was joining the academy, because it was a small community. We were 9 people then. And we started learning intensively for 8 hours a day, but it was joyful and fun, and I really miss that period of time.
So two things you have for sure is tenacity and perseverance, which are great human skills to have in this world. So have you in your physical therapy and in your journey through your PT time, which I think is also a great profession because we need that, particularly for
Sure.
those who sit in front of our screen all day long. Did
Exactly.
you hear about DevOps? Did you know what DevOps was before that?
Not at all. Not at all. It was just something that was sometimes a title on the internet where I was browsing, but I didn't know what it was. What is a programming language? Was it something else? I had no clue. Sorry, I know
Excellent.
that sounds childish, but I didn't know what it was. I learned all those things in the meantime.
Yeah, not childish at all, because as you might know, and as you have done that, Rafael, reskilling is a very, very, very hot topic right now. There are things like re Great Resignation. That's probably I like to rename it to the Great Reshuffle, where people are saying, "Hey, I'm kind of done with what I've done for the last whatever years," and they're really looking for reskilling themselves. So you are the example of a reskilling journey, which I think is fantastic. So I have another question for you. So why DevOps? Was it, I mean, obviously you said, right, you needed to do some changes and you wanted to do something. You had home office, we all were locked into our places.
Yeah.
So why specifically DevOps? Was there another motivation behind that? Was it pure coincidence with the CNCF?
So that was the pure coincidence at first with CNCF, but I didn't know that this would lead me to DevOps directly. So the next thing my friend told me about this fantastic book, the Phoenix Project. When I read that, I read it as a thriller. So I thought that it would be a great opportunity to be a part of such a team to change something and to have all those crazy roller coasters that there were in this book. And that kind of established my way of thinking and my way of evolving. So I thought that, yeah, this is something that I really want to do. I read obviously a lot of articles then, what is DevOps, some community sites, and also this broadened my point of view about DevOps. And I knew that I want to be a part of it and I want to evolve in this direction.
Excellent. So if you go back into those times, as you already indicated, tough times, 8 hours studying, besides the time investment, and I'm sure you had challenges relative to dealing with the pandemic and all of that, but what other challenges would you say you had? What was the toughest thing where you go back and say, "I made it through"?
Yeah, so there were a large number of those. So basically, I had no experience in Linux. So the first contact with the terminal was on the CNCF course when I opened the terminal, typed ls, and then something came up, and I was like, "Whoa, yeah, it works!" So great. So I was really clumsy in Linux. I really spent some time improving this so I could be a little bit better, faster, and also also a lot of things that I didn't know that came up, a lot of terms. So the best thing that I did probably was reading extensively about any detail that I didn't understand, that I didn't know on an even high level, just to have a broader understanding about what I was doing, because following instructions from the screen and doing replicating them, it's easy, but knowing what it actually does, it's something else. So I think that this is the thing that I did. So reading the things that I didn't know, and those were the challenges. It was a lot of them, a lot of challenges, but like I said, gaining that deeper knowledge helped me to kind of understand it better.
Any specific tips you would give to people who are thinking about? I'm sure you have a few up your sleeves you would love to share, and I know our audience would love to hear.
Yeah, so the first thing, that it's the imposter syndrome. That's something that each of I think people who are reskilling or starting something new have to manage to overcome, because this will appear very frequently. It appeared with me. And I think that the best way was to learn even more, because the head is occupied with something else, and I didn't have that feeling very long when I extensively learned about something that I didn't know, but it came occasionally back. So don't be, if I can advise something to anyone, don't be discouraged by this imposter syndrome, because you're learning, and that's natural, I think. And just a lot of courses, small courses about the same topic. So if I was learning about Kubernetes, for example, I like to read books, watch films from different providers, just to have the same topic from a different point of view. That helped me somehow to understand the topic a little bit better. And that's something that I would encourage everyone to do. Not just one course and a very long one, but take some shorter ones on a high level and understand the topic, and then go a little bit deeper into the rabbit hole.
Are you looking to get DevOps certified? Demonstrate your DevOps knowledge and advance your career with a certification from DevOps Institute. Get certified in DevOps Leader, SRE, or DevSecOps, just to name a few. Learn anywhere, anytime. The choice is yours. Choose to get certified through our vast partner network, self-study programs, or our new SkillUp e-learning videos. The exams are developed in collaboration with industry thought leaders and subject matter experts in the DevOps space. Learn more at devopsinstitute.com/certifications.
Of course, we all learn differently, right? I learn by reading, but I also learn by doing. So were there a lot of labs and things you were able to do so that you can actually test your skills?
Yes. So the really fun lab was organized by Google. It was Google Upskill. It was a very fun lab because it was on a time-based. So there were 30 days to complete it. And it was very, very good because there was the terminal. There was that there had to be no subscription made, no credit card provided. And you can really dive into it. So check the terminal, check the services that are provided. Also, AWS has something like this, and Microsoft. So it's all free, and I think that it's worth giving it a shot, because there's a lot of extensive materials around there, and also they're practical, so we can get into the terminal, to the portal, or check your skills in the cloud on a server. So that's great.
So you kind of give through those labs, you get your confidence up, that you can, you get that self-worth, right, rises more.
Yeah, those small rewards, those are really important, that it's not only the red font on the screen that something's going wrong, but also the green ones that, a small success, you can go forward, and that's something motivating. And I think it's also for us, I was born in 84, so my whole generation has this sort of attitude that we like those kind of small rewards, if you post something on Facebook, we like that someone views it or likes it, and this is the same sort. It's really addicting, and I think that this is the exact same feeling when something is done for the first time and it works. That's just amazing.
So this is a little bit of a fairly personal question, so you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But once you started, how long did it take you until you realized, this is it, I'm really liking it, I really love this, and I don't look back to my PT time? Was it 6 months? Was it 9 months? Was it, is it still not, maybe you're still not there?
The only times where I looked kind of back at the PT career was when someone close or from the friends that I haven't seen in a while asked me about it. That was the only time when I looked back and said, no, I don't want to go back, because here is, it's the learning curve is steep, but it's really rewarding, like I said. And PT is also, you have to learn a lot, because there are a lot of courses, a lot of new models of treating patients with lumbar diseases or any other dysfunctions. But here it's all, you can reach out, there are a lot of tools that are free, open source. Whenever a new technology comes out, you can, all you have to do is try it, reach out for it and try it. With PT is a little bit different, because you have to organize a course, you have to attend this course, then you have to, then it has to be tested on a couple of patients to make it work. But here is it's under reach of your hand, actually, this whole knowledge, and it's overwhelming, but it's great.
So the worst moment of your journey so far, if you look back, some moment in time where you say some developer screamed at me or whatever, any worst moment, and then we follow that with the best moment.
Okay, so I didn't encounter those moments where anyone yelled at me or did something that I wouldn't be pleasant about yet, but that may to come. I think that the kind of wake-up call was when we were divided into groups and in the DevOps Academy, and we had to do something in threes, and I didn't know who were the participants in the DevOps Academy. I thought that everyone was on the same level as I was, which was not true, because those people were superstars in computer science, as it turned out. But that gave me a wake-up call that I need to work harder, even than I did. So just to catch up, just to be nearer on the level that they are. And that was a huge wake-up call for me, that I needed to speed up a little bit. It wasn't unpleasant, but it was a wake-up call. If we talk about pleasant things, I encountered really great people that on my path, people who had over 20 years of experience, senior developers who took me in like a Padawan, taught me a lot of things, and yeah, that was excellent. One of the projects that I was assigned to in EPAM after the academy, that I was accepted to, one of the developers was very kind and had a huge impact on my thinking about a lot of things.
Excellent. So that coach, that peer, yes, who helps you, who motivates you, who gives you some tips, that's great. I remember having that person as well way back in my IT operations career, which even at nighttime, I was going home and just thanking that person in my head to keep me abreast and to keep me motivated. That's great to hear. So. Yeah.
Great, because whenever I had a small success outside, even when the project ended and I had a small success like passing an official exam from Microsoft, I immediately pinged him that, yeah, I managed to do it. And we weren't talking for a couple of months, but then I decided to share, and he was also very happy that, yeah, you did it. So great.
Super. Shout out to that person. Fantastic. One additional question, and then we're about ready to wrap up, is where are you, what's next for you in terms of learning? I'm sure, I mean, you always learn, right? We all yeah. learn every day on all kinds of things, but specifically, have you set yourself some specific goals for the rest of the year or for next year where you want to go?
Yes, of course. So this year, the 6th of October, I'm taking the Microsoft AZ-104 exam. So that will complement the one that I already have. So that's the plan for this year. After that, maybe next year, maybe somewhere around January, February, I would like to do the CKA. But that's something I need to prepare a little bit more for that. And I think the next would be also pursuing the Microsoft, so AZ-305 Solution Architect, but that's a little bit in the nearer future, but a bit more distant than now.
Wow. Fantastic. Don't forget to live a little bit because we are now outside of the pandemic and we can travel. Come to Germany, come visit me. I'll take you out for some local beer. That would be
Oh, that would be excellent. That would be excellent.
fun. As a little reward for your hard work, that would be fun. Well, certainly if you are in the area, I am in the northern in the southern part of Germany, stop by. I'm happy to guide you through some of our local breweries or whatever else. Whatever
Excellent.
beverage you like to prefer. Fantastic.
I
Well,
will remember that. Thank you very much.
this has been a great conversation. This has been really, really a pleasure. Very motivational, very inspiring. Thank you, Rafael, for
Thank you very much.
your fantastic honesty and you are the spirit of DevOps. I can see it. I can feel it. I have one more question, a little bit more around the fun part. What is it you like to do on the weekend?
Well, on the weekends, yeah, I have
Don't say you're studying.
no. I try to limit this a little bit, but I have two small daughters, so I try to spend my time with them, but in the evening, I cannot promise that I will not be studying. So that's something that I do. It's just like in this book that I read about Just for Fun by Linus Torvalds. It's the same. I mean, it's just a fun journey, being paid for what's actually fun.
Yeah, well, that's a great summary to your story, Rafael. This was great. Thank you so much for being with us at the Humans of DevOps podcast. Stay safe, stay human, and hope that everybody who's listening in tunes in next time. Rafael, greetings to you. Have a
Thank you
wonderful
very
rest of the
much.
day, and the weekend is coming.
Yes, let's keep this in mind. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.